Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue and purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be empty. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
To the Healing Lot Show. This is Reverend Stan and guest co-host Robert and Chris Crutchfield, and we're all here today. We're going to be talking about, we're going to have a little discussion about gay marriage and all the other topics that's actually been in the news here lately. We just not had a chance to really touch on this and really talk about it and really see biblically what this is all about and what the Lord really looks at all this stuff. And a lot of times we always want to see what the public thinks about this, or the gay rights group thinks about this, or the government thinks about this, but we don't really look at what the Word of God thinks about that. And a lot of times that's where we need to go first before we really start worrying about what people are saying. We need to worry about what the Word of God's saying about all of this. And a lot of times when we go by what the Word of God's saying, we're going to go right. So we're actually going to be talking about that today. And there's been different points of views on this topic. And there's a right wing and the left wing, and they're all saying this and they're saying that. And a lot of times it's never the right thing what they're saying. They kind of go to what they want, not by what is really, you know, biblically right. And I just thought I'd give this show and give us a chance to talk about that and what, you know, what God says about that. Robert, what have you found about what the Lord says about all this?
Well, all throughout the scriptures, we are given clues, we are given instructions, and we are given what Father's heart is about the topic. From the beginning of time where this spirit surfaced in the lives of mankind to this very day, nothing has changed. Father has never condoned the homosexuality or bestiality, or he's never condoned murder, lying. He's never condoned stealing, cheating. He's never condoned anything that is contrary to his will. And what the world has done, and it is Satan still in the authority of humans, is taking this topic and turned it into an issue that men are voting on and trying to make right, but our opinions will never change the truth of God's word. No matter how many laws we pass or how many laws we change, it will never change Father's attitude, his nature, his character, and how he feels about this topic. He hates sin. He abhors sin. He hates anything that is contrary to his will. And we, his people, are supposed to be the same way. And notice I haven't said anything about hating a person. He loves humanity. He loves people. And he does not want his people to perish. It is written in Scripture that he desires that none perish, but all come to the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. And in Scripture, we're given example after example, and I'll just mention one that you can look up later, viewing audience. Look it up later, Romans chapter 1. Paul makes a strong point in Romans chapter 1 about women desiring women and men desiring men. He makes a strong point about how it is contrary to the will of God in Romans. He also makes a strong point about it in his letter to the church of Corinth in chapter 6, and that's the one that I will actually spend some time talking about. Chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, he makes a point about how that these different things that people do is going to keep them from experiencing the kingdom of God here on the earth. He literally says in his letter, it's translated that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, people have preached that if you're homosexual, if you're a thief, if you're covetous, if you're a drunkard, if you're a reviler, if you're a prostitute, fornicator, that you won't go to heaven. But that's not what Paul's saying. See, that's attacking people. Father's not trying to attack people. He's trying to draw people to him. Paul is pointing out an attitude and a lifestyle that is contrary to the will of God that will keep you from a kingdom of heaven here on earth through your life. It's an attitude that's contrary that he's breaking down for us to look at. But what's happened is here we are at this point in time in history, mankind has gotten so far away. The world has consumed the lives of people. This attitude that is contrary to the will of God, it's infectious and it is spreading throughout the world. People are just going crazy with evil in their hearts and letting it all hang out. And that's what we're seeing right now. Our judges in the Supreme Court are actually literally saying, oh, it's okay, y'all go on and live any way you want to live. Well, that's what the world does. That's what they're doing. They're promoting this attitude. They're promoting these treacherously sinful lifestyles they're actually condoning it. And it is contrary to the will of God. No matter how you look at it, no opinion, no law, no nothing can change the truth. And Father's truth is that no one born that way, he desires for no one to live in that type of lifestyle, because that lifestyle, it destroys you. And people just don't realize this. They think that they're so selfish and so self-centered, they think that that lifestyle is okay, that I was born this way. I'm sitting here bouncing back and forth with the topic because it's just so deafening. It's vile. It's evil. It's wicked. And they don't see who's really behind it. They don't see the influence of the enemy concerning it and how that he's using it to draw people further away from finding out the truth about who we really are and what the Lord has done in creating us like himself. See, he's not that way. And that's the whole point. He's never been homosexual, and we're not supposed to be homosexual. Homosexuality was a thing that was established in the fallen nature of man to try to keep the promise of God from coming to pass. But it's gotten to the point in time in history where people just don't care. Paul is writing this letter to a group of people, Corinth, who are literally had come out of homosexual relationships and come out of male prostitution, had come out of being lesbian. And he even makes mention of it in verse, I think, 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, it's your spirit man that got cleansed and reborn. But that mind and that physical body is going through this torment that you, these people, are literally subjecting themselves to. Father never intended for us to have to live like that, to think that way, and to be subjected to anything that's contrary to his will. He never intended for it. But because we live in this fallen world, we have an adversary, the devil, who is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's out there deceiving and blinding people and causing them to trust in this death that is separating them from the plan of God.
You know, one thing that I always hear them say, I mean, I went to a church where there's some that went to the church, and a lot of times you hear them say that they was born that way, or, you know, that was just the way they was made. And the thing about that is, you know, God never did create a homosexual man and a homosexual woman. In the beginning, it was Adam and Eve. He said that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
and that as far as he went. And when you think when a man and a woman is first born, they're born perfect in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever comes after that is what we create. Or what Satan's starting to manipulate. So what you're first created is perfect, because God created you perfect when you first came out of your mom's womb. I mean, you was perfect. And then whatever comes after that is what the enemy starts manipulating. And one thing that, I mean, once you know the truth, I'll say back many years ago, I thought, you know, maybe these people was born like that. Maybe just something went on to them. And then I was talking to a minister that I knew, and he does deliverance. That's one thing that he did. He used to be a well-known, you know, healing evangelist back a long time ago, but he kind of retired. Well, not really retired, but he don't go out as much as he used to. And he said that he was praying for this homosexual guy, and he didn't really go at him, holler at him. He just started praying for him, and then all of a sudden, this demonic being started coming out of him and started screaming at him through this guy's mouth and said, "I will not let this guy go. He is mine, and he's staying where he is now." And he said he kept on at him and finally got it out of him, and it left. His homosexuality and everything left. So basically what that was saying, homosexuality is demonic. It's not a lifestyle. It's not something you're born with. It's demonic. whatever is not perfect is demonic. It's something, and a lot of people say, well, how can you say that? Do you deal with people that deals with prayer and deals with a lot of deliverance? They will tell you, they will show you what can come out of a person like that, and it's not of God. It's certainly a, and I've known this thing to get into people in families and destroy families. And another thing I do want to mention is that you've got to give these people love. They don't know what's going on with them. In their minds, they think this is normal. They think this is all right because the world is telling them this is all right. This is the right thing, which we know it's not. The Word of God tells us it ain't. But they think in their mind that it's right. And what we got to do, we got to still love these people. And I've been around a lot of them. When I went to Unity, they was around. I love these people as brothers and sisters, but I did not like their ways at all. But I still saw them as brothers and sisters, you know. And I treat them like I did everybody else. And, you know, they was good friends. They're some good people, but their sinful ways was fallen. And I knew that. And, you know, that's the way I knew that. But the thing of it is that you still treat them. You still treat them with love and compassion as Christ did all sinners. He treated everybody with love and compassion because that love and compassion is what helps change them. The love and compassion helps change them, and the grace and glory of God does the rest of it. But I think it is important to really let them know what they're doing wrong, but don't slam it in their face, but let them know, say, this is not what the Word of God says to do. You need to, you know, this is not right what you're doing. I mean, whatever the world's telling you is not right. And, you know, can I pray for you or just keep you in my prayers or something like that? Just leave it like that and don't cut them down or anything like that. Just let them know what they're doing is wrong. And that's one thing that I see. But then you was talking about, you know, in the early times, like in Genesis and all that, and I remember the Lord talking about, he said, in the end times, it will be like it was in Noah's day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think what went on in Noah's day, the same type of thing, almost identical same thing. Mm-hmm. It talks about people manipulating animals and combining animals with human part animals back in them days. It was homosexuality. It was rapid. It was like, I mean, the earth was polluted. It had everything that God created, they mixed up and they manipulated it in Noah's time. And that's one of the reasons why the flood came. But if you really look at things, way we're actually messing with genes and we're manipulating vegetables, we're manipulating animals, we don't know what we're eating anymore. You know, they're, you know, pretty soon a homosexual guy's going to have a baby. I mean, just think about it. I mean, in the news, it's just crazy stuff. It's like things are going rapid, like he was saying. But I'm going to go ahead and hand this to Chris. Chris, what do you think about this?
Can I just say this, that make no mistake, if you're in about this, make no mistake about this, that God loves you. No matter what, he's reaching out to you, and his desire is to have intimate fellowship with you.
Amen.
And what Robert was touching on a little bit earlier was the law of God stands eternal forever. It'll never be uprooted or done away with.
Uh-huh.
And the law of God and the laws of the land are two different things.
Yes,
and no
sir.
Matter what the nation or the majority say is correct, it's like you read the Bible, there's people in history that dealt with that kind of stuff constantly. Noah's one of them. And, I mean, God did wipe out the whole population. It was very grieved from those things. So like, sin grieves God no matter what it is. So it's like, the more you go after God, but he loves you so much that he dealt with that sin problem, whether it's stealing or whatever, you know, and And that was once and for all. And he did, he was the perfect, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for sin. So no sin should stop you from coming into relationship with the Lord. But you want, you will not keep on in those sins without major torment in your heart because of the love of God. It's like he changes you and you're created new. And that sin, I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit, but he deals with you in such a love that it's so overwhelming that his love far surpasses the sin to the point that you love him more than you love the sin.
Yeah.
And the thing about the lifestyle and stuff like that is I believe that there's people out there that are born into situations and they have absolutely no control of, I mean, like I can think of a coworker now that lives with it's two women that live together and they adopted a little boy. Well, that little boy has absolutely no control of that situation. He was adopted into it, you know, and I really believe that in those situations, you really got to pray and just seek the Lord on how to be love and be Jesus to those people. But I know with me and my experiences, reaching out in love, it's like they'll ask questions and you just be honest and share your heart, but be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit because he'll guide you in that stuff. And a lot of times we'll try to intellectualize things and
uh-huh.
and sometimes we'll step into just sketchy water by our intellectual. Just remember this, love always builds up and knowledge puffs up. So the knowledge, you don't want to be led by carnal knowledge in that situation. You want to be led by the Spirit of God and love. And you want to be sensitive to those people. And I'm not saying don't tell them the truth, but do it in an accepting way, you know, because if you start throwing the word, I mean, okay, so I think of this, I think of Peter cutting the guy's ear off with a sword. Well, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And a lot of ministers like to take the word of God and cut people's ears off when Jesus was all about putting the ear on and putting the ears on the people. So it's like he wants you walking with him more than the best minister in the world wants you walking with him. I mean, his desire is to have fellowship with you and love you. And I just feel like those tendencies are carnal, or they're selfish, or maybe thrill seeking or whatever. And the thing about the media and the world around us, the Bible says be in the world, but not be of the world. And it also says what fellowship has light with darkness, you know. So it's like just read the Bible and go after God, and he'll direct you into the truth, and he'll change your heart on things towards the truth. And if you resist it, then you'll just be in this tormented state constantly because you keep on sinning. But it's like he still deals with you with love, but it's like the contentment's there when you're walking in agreement and going after him. And but I mean, my heart goes out really, really, because there's people out there that are really just deceived and walking in deception, and the Lord, I mean, it's all about what he did for us. The gospel's good news. It's all about, like, what Jesus did for us, not what we have to do for him to be accepted by him. And I mean, like, me personally, as a minister, like, there's no way I would ever defy the word of God and marry two males or two females. I would not do that. I hate the sin of it, and I wouldn't stand for that. And I'm in absolute disagreement with the ruling that was passed. And I just feel like that no matter what, you know, to press into the word of God and try to fulfill the word of God and let the Lord fulfill the word of God in you and stand for God, honor God, you know, but also honor the sinners, but hate the sin, you know, because like I'm so about like honor, because like I really feel like that I am who I am because of the grace of God. And really, if it were not for the grace of God and God reaching out to me, there's no telling where I would be. So I'm really grateful for the fact that the Lord loves me. And I think about that prayer where the Pharisee was out on the street and he said, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like these." And he's shouting, and it was just, and then there was the sinner, and he said, "God, help me." And Jesus said, "Truly, that guy stands justified," or something through his prayer. I can't remember exactly how it was worded, but the sinner's prayer was coming from, "I really need you," whereas the Pharisee or whatever it was like the churchy people. I think it was the Pharisee, but it may have been like one of the Sanhedrin or something.
Yeah.
But he said, but anyway, he was coming from like a place of pride, you know, and I don't ever want to be too proud to reach out to anybody, you know, because it is the grace of God that we stand with him and are able to walk in the power and the intimacy and just the glory of God, man. It's such an honor. And I want that love to be stretched out through me constantly, you know. And I don't ever want to shut the door in somebody's face unless I really don't want to do it at all, but I try to use common sense and wisdom, stuff like that, and not get into places where, you know, that's rampant or whatever, you know. I mean, you got to be pretty built up in the Lord if you're going to go try to minister at a gay parade or something like that, you know. I'm just saying that. And I know there's people out there that can do that, but to me, it seems like I would have to hear the Lord say, "Hey, go do that."
Yeah. But there's one thing that like you were saying, you're talking about, you know, we were talking about Noah's time. See, Noah's time, they didn't have Christ. They didn't have the Son of God that came down and took the stripes and took all of our stuff to the cross. They didn't have that at that time. So there was only one other way that, you know, the Father had to deal with it. He had to clean the planet Earth off. He had to clean them up. Only one righteous family was Noah and his family. That's the only one that he had to supply the world with humans. But now we have Jesus Christ came, and belief in him cleanses us. No matter where we are, who we are, what we went through, he takes that to the cross each and every day for us. We did it once and for all, but people every day that's accepting Christ to their life, he's taking that from them and putting it to his cross that he died on 2,000 years ago. It's put on there. Once he died, he took all of your sins all at one time. No matter who it was, when it was, whatever happened, he took that to the cross for you. And no matter who is out there, he can do that now. If you're stuck in homosexuality and you have no idea what to do, what to how to take care of yourself. You don't know, you're stuck in it. Now realize, you know, the Spirit of God is telling you this is not right. I need to change. You know, you're wanting to change, but you don't know how. You're in it, you know, over your head in this. The Lord can help you with that. The Lord can help you with that. He can come in you and start directing you in the right ways and taking you in the Word of God and revealing things to you. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he's going to be harsh with you. I'm not going to say that. But he'll do it in a loving way and show you where it's not right. It's not right. And I know there's probably many reasons that people fell into this. Maybe it's because, you know, maybe the opposite sex didn't like them, or, you know, maybe something went wrong in their life or a childhood thing that really threw them for a loop that got them confused and that opened the door for the enemy to throw them in this. I mean, I've heard many a story from people why they fell into this. I mean, I've heard stories. And I'm telling you, the Lord knows your story. He knows where the enemy entered into your life to bring you to this point. He knows where it started. He knows the exact point in your life when it happened. And the Lord was there waiting for you, but the enemy had you so covered up, you didn't know he was there. But now is your chance.
Can I just say this, that sin is never satisfied. Is never satisfied. And one thing I heard about, it was one of those murderers, I think it was Jeffrey Dahmer, and he started out like in pornography and stuff like that, and it's like he got to the point where he just wasn't satisfied with the thrills that he had from looking at it, and then he just kept crossing over that line and took it farther and farther and deeper and deeper, and which he went to a major extreme. But I mean, sin will take you farther than you want to go and make you pay more than you want to pay.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the end of it is, I mean, ultimately death. And really the one of the major problems with homosexuality is the fact that it's such a destructive lifestyle. If you just did nothing else but look at the statistics alone, like it's uh-huh. 10 to 2 or 3 as far as the destructive lifestyle goes, and like sexually transmitted diseases and stuff like that. They're just rampant in that community. And it's, I mean, that right there alone shows you that it's not the blessing of the Lord to be in that kind of lifestyle. And as a matter of fact, several times in Leviticus, it says that for man to lay with man as a woman is an abomination. So it's really clear on why or that it's foul and it's evil. And I mean, that's just the truth. And, you know, I don't hate homosexuals, but I hate the lifestyle and the sin, you know. And I don't know, it hurts my heart to see people in bondage and not coming to the Lord because of a lifestyle like that, and they feel like they're so caught up and so contrary to what the scripture says that there's no hope for them, but there is hope, and God loves you no matter what. Yeah. I just wanted to share that.
That's awesome, Chris. Yeah, no matter where you are right now in this lifestyle, and you want to accept the Lord Jesus into your heart, you can. He could start making you a new person. And I'm not telling you it's going to be fast. It may be a little out of time, but you got to start somewhere, you know. You got to start somewhere. And like I said, no matter where you got started in this, whether it was when you was a teenager or, you know, after high school, after wherever it is where you got started in this, the Lord knows where you got started. And the thing of it is, he's offering you a door to come through. He wants you to come into him. He wants to come within you. Just invite him into your life and watch him start changing you, start renewing you. And once
he starts renewing you, then you see a whole new thing there. That's one of the main things, is just let him start renewing you. And when he starts renewing you, you start seeing your heart blossom. You start seeing things going on in you. No matter what you came out of, it might have been drug addiction. It may be alcoholism. No matter what, like he was talking about, it's all the same. It's all the same sin. It's all sin is look as the same. No matter what it is, it's the same. It's the same. You know, all the sin is the same in God's eyes. He looks at it all as sin. No matter, it's not just a name. It's all sin. He sees it all that, all like that. So no matter whether you're homosexual, whether you're alcoholic, or whatever it is, still looks at it as the same way. And he still took it all to the cross for you. He still took it all to the cross for you. And that's one of the main things that he did for you. He took it to the cross for you. And you can accept him in your heart, and he can take your problem to the cross for you. And that's one of the main things. And I'm going to go ahead and let Chris do the sinner's prayer real quick. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just want you to take a second and just reflect on the Lord. And so, Lord, we just come to you right now, and we just ask you to come into our hearts, Lord, and that ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, and we just ask you to live vibrantly in our hearts and our lives, Lord. And I thank you. I ask you for forgiveness, and thank you for it. And thank you for the ability to walk in love and walk in you all of the days of our life, Lord. I just want you to be Lord and be God in my life. And all the days from here on out, help us to fulfill your will and your calling on our lives, Lord. The Word of God says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, then you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And if you just did that, we just thank you and welcome you into the kingdom. You're going to live forever and ever. And heaven's awakening. The kingdom is alive and rampant right now. And you're going to experience awesome things. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Robert. I'll let you close this up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, I was wanting to point out some things. We said we were going to mention gay marriage. I want to say this about that topic. First of all, there is no such thing as gay marriage. Marriage is never between the same sex. It's always been between opposite sex. It originated with opposite sex. The moment Father removed the fetus out of the man, the womb out of the man, he put the man to sleep, and then he formed a womb man. He formed the female. The word fe in Latin means fetus carrier. He formed the female, pulled her out of the male. And then when the male and the female come back together, it is called marriage. And I'd like to point out something in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul makes a strong point about this, and he says in verse 16, "Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." He's telling us what marriage is. When you put it back together, when the male and the female come back together, cleave one to the other, that is marriage. what was once inside of the man, when it goes back together, we call it sex. Sex is marriage. See, that's the thing. We have allowed the topic of marriage to be so defiled, so far away from what Father created and established, that we're trying to rewrite what marriage is. But it can't be rewritten. Father established it. It was the first institution in the earthly kingdom that he established. It was called marriage when the man and the woman lie together. They came back together. He said, for this reason shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave, which means to glue himself back to, cleave to his wife. So what we've got to do is we've got to tell them the truth, that there's no way you can have a gay marriage. There's no such thing as gay marriage. What they're doing is they're just living together and living in sin. But yes, tell them the truth, and tell them the truth in love, to the point and the place where they're able to receive the word of God and allow it to come in and transform their hearts and their lives. See, what we haven't touched on is the fact that we are reborn. And when we're reborn, we are reborn with a brand new nature. It's the original nature that Father had placed in the first Son of God. It's the same nature that we see demonstrated through Christ Jesus our Lord. That nature that is in Christ Jesus is the new nature that we are reborn into. And the only way that we can inherit the kingdom as he desires for us to do is to take and receive the new birth and then allow the word of God to transform us from the inside out. Our bodies no longer belong to us once we become reborn. We're not supposed to live like animals. That's why the flood happened. The flood happened because they were living like animals. Bahma in Hebrew is the word for animal. In it is what it is. We're not supposed to live like animals. We are created greater than animals. We are created like Hashem. We are created to live like God, and like God is not an animal. Those attitudes that are hindering us and keeping us from being able to experience and the inheritance that comes with being reborn sons of God, that's what Paul is addressing here. Our body does not belong to us. It has become a temple for the Holy Spirit. Our body belongs to the Lord, and we're not supposed to take the members of his body and allow it to be defiled by these wrong attitudes and this wrong style of living. We're supposed to take it and we're supposed to submit it unto God and allow it to be the holy temple that it has been cleansed to be. That's what the Word of God does. It washes us and it purges and it cleanses us. Our mind gets reborn the more we spend time in the presence of the living God. And before you know it, your physical body starts wanting to do what it was created to do. And that's only to glorify the Lord, its creator. Father has given us the instructions in the owner's manual. If we will read the owner's manual, it will tell us how to get the most out of these physical bodies. It will tell us how to have his mind, how to have his thoughts, how to think and live his way. His way is right, and there is no other way that is right. We cannot change and rewrite marriage because Father established it to be one way. And, you know, he wants us to marry him. He wants us to recognize the marriage relationship that is required with him so that we can live out sonship in the earth. That's his whole plan. He's looking for a royal family in this last day that desires to glorify him and honor him with the Spirit, soul, and body. And we can't do it if we're living in that type of lifestyle, in the lifestyle of a thief, in the lifestyle of an adulterer, in the lifestyle of a drunkard. You can put any tag on that evil you want to put on that evil. There is nothing out there that is contrary to him that he desires we experience. We choose to experience the things that we choose, that we do. And if we take the word of God and we apply it to our hearts, to our minds, it will transform us. It will renew us. And we will live victorious lives outside of sin. He made it possible through Christ Jesus, as it says in verse 11 of the same chapter. He said that you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we get a hold of that truth will transform us from the inside out. The renewed, reborn spirit will begin to take the lead role in our lives, and it will transform the way we think, and it will transform what we do to this physical body and how we expose it to the garbage of the world. We're commanded to come out from among the world. You know, we're sitting here talking about gay marriage, but that issue with the flag is no different. We have a bunch of people claiming to be Christian that are out here pointing the finger at something that happened hundreds of years ago and trying to make it important today. That is not what we're supposed to be doing. That flag has no power. It only has what power you give it. It's just like the word, please excuse me if this offends anybody, the word nigger. It doesn't offend me. I'm a black man. It doesn't offend me to hear the word nigger. What offends me is the fact that I would let it bother me. Because, see, it's not the truth about me. It's not who I am. I am as he is, and he is not nigger. So I'm not offended by it, just like I'm not offended by this rebel flag that everybody's raising all this cane about, like the flag jumped down off the pole, picked up a gun, and shot a bunch of people. That's bullcrap. They're sitting here giving glory and honor to an inanimate object and pumping it up and blowing it into something that it's not supposed to be, rather than taking the truth and realizing that the heart of the person who pulled the trigger was defiled. Has nothing to do with the flag. I don't care what happened in 1800. I don't care what happened in 1700. It doesn't affect me today. I'm a son of God, and I know it. It doesn't matter what someone says or what they call me or what they think about me, what my father says about me, what my father cares about me, and what my father thinks about me. That's the only thing that's important. That's the way sons think. But this religious attitude, blaming the flag, wanting it taken down, hey, here's a secret. I mean, here's something about me. I have a rebel flag bandana. And I wear it all the time. So I'm not offended by the stars and the bars of the rebel flag. That flag only has what power you give it, just like anything else. We're supposed to be so focused on love, so focused on the Word of God, and not wasting our breath on arguing over a flag. My God, let it go.
Yeah.
And grow up. Hallelujah.
It's whatever.
Let it go
and
whatever,
grow up. Yeah, it's whatever you give it power to do. If you give
that's
it
right.
power for racial tension, that's what it's going to give. If you give
that's
it
right.
power as just a flag, it's not the object. It's just like a gun. Does the gun
yeah.
itself shoot people?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. It's the
nope.
person that picks up the gun, that points it and pulls the trigger, shoots people, kills people.
That's right.
It's the person that it aims the power of what they give that object, the power to do the destruction, not
mm-hmm.
not the object itself.
No.
And it's just like people say, you know, all money is evil, okay? Money is paper. It just lays there. It's whatever the person does with it that creates it to do evil. I mean, if the guy is taking his finances and he's going to the bars, that's him doing that. or he can take that same money and give a great offering to a church, help support the church, help support the ministry. It's whatever you do with it is what's going to happen with that. I really believe it all has to do with us. Who we are inside is what we're going to do with the objects that we have. If we are dark inside, Jesus is not inside of us, we're going to do some dark and scary things with anything, with a gun, with a flag, with our lives, whatever. We're going to do that. But if we're looking at things in a very negative point of view with, I say, you know, with anything like that, we're gonna see the Lord really, really touching us. And even if we're, you know, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He's going to convict us on what we're doing. Even if we're in homosexuality, He's going to convict us. If we just got saved, if we was in homosexuality and we just got saved, I'll say we just got saved, He's going to convict you and let you know what's wrong. That's one of the things that the old church didn't have. The Jewish ancestors, they didn't have that. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside them to really convict them. They only had the law. Now, when Jesus put the Holy Spirit inside of us, that knows the law, that's what convicts us. We don't need a law anymore because we got the Holy Spirit convicting us. So when you're doing these crazy things, the Holy Spirit is going to be convicting you and say, hey, this is wrong. This ain't of the Father. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? This don't make no sense. You'll constantly feel that pushing you, tugging you. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. But if you're not feeling that tug and you're not getting convicted of what you're doing, you may not have the Holy Spirit in you. You may not fully give yourself to the Lord yet. So, you know, you really need to check yourself and really see where you are. Because trust me, being Holy Spirit filled, you will know if you did something wrong. He won't let you go without you knowing it. He will pull that veil every time. Hey, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And then he'll smear it in your face.
He's trying to tell you before you do it. You do it because he knows you're going to try to do it. He's trying to lead you the right way before you make the wrong choice.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to let you know what's going on before you do it. We don't see the Ten Commandments in our face anymore. We've got the Holy Spirit in us that's going to be pushing us and telling us not to do things. That's better than picking up a sheet of paper and looking. You got the man himself that created that inside of you saying, boy, you just messed up. You know? So that's the difference. Go ahead.
Can I read a scripture? This is Romans 1:21. It says, For they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That scripture, it's like walk in what you know to walk in and give honor where honor's due. You know, God should be number one because he's the creator of the universe.
Amen.
And if you give that place to the Lord and make him number one, then everything else is going to fall into place because God is number one. He'll put two, three, and four all in place. And I just really believe that sin starts in the heart and on the inside before it ever comes out of you or manifests in you or whatever. It's because of negligence, of not thinking on good things. I mean, I'm convinced that it starts in, I mean, there's some exceptions where, like, if somebody gets kidnapped and then they're, like, you know, given some kind of, like, that happens a lot with sex trafficking and stuff like that where kids get abducted and then they're injected with something or, you know, they get them addicted to drugs and then start using them where they're pretty much just helpless. But anyway, there's some exceptions, but for the most part, sin starts in the thinking and in the heart and enticing sinful thoughts. and just giving place to those simple thoughts. And because of giving place, that just erupts into something that's big and nasty and no good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I was wanting to go ahead and talk about the Healing Light Conference that we're having this Saturday. It's going to be at 5 p.m., and it's going to be a very awesome event. It's going to be at Marketplace Church, right off of 127. And we're going to have, I think it's going to be about 5 hours. We got quite a bit of people that's going to be speaking at this conference. We're going to have Reverend Robert Hager, your co-host right here. We're going to have Reverend Chuck McDonald. He's going to be speaking with another co-host on Saturdays we have. We're going to have guest speaker Keith Adams. He's going to be there. Then we're going to have one of our old co-hosts, Reverend Jacob Phillips. He's coming down from all the way from Louisiana to come and speak. He's going to be giving his testimony. He has a testimony that really blew you away from how, if it wouldn't have been for the Lord, he wouldn't have been here at all. Because the enemy's trying to take him out of his mom's womb, and the Lord stepped in. So it's going to be an awesome testimony right there. And yours truly, me, I'm going to be there hosting an event. And we're going to have Robert and Erica Jordan. They're going to be doing the praise and worship there. And they're a very great praise and worship band, and they're going to be really leading us in music to the Lord. And I'm also going to have Austin Pritchard, which he comes from Bed Not Cry. He's going to be playing the drums with Erica and Robert Jordan. So it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord that day. And we're all very excited. You very excited, Robert?
Oh, you better believe it. I have just been expecting for the greatest move of God to take place at that service. It's going to kick off an awesome manifestation of the glory of God in this ministry, in the Healing Light ministry. 2 weeks ago, a young man walked up to me and gave me a bottle of anointing oil that was prayed over by Reverend A.A. Allen, by R.W. Shambach and Leroy Jenkins. And then this past Sunday, I took it to Charlotte, and I had my pastor of 15-plus years to lay hands on that bottle of oil. It was like 40 years ago this bottle of oil was prayed over by those ministers together and given to this boy's grandmother. Well, he gave it to me. He said, "The Lord told me to give it to you." I said, "Wow, the Lord told you to give me this bottle of anointing oil that all those tent meeting reverends and ministers who had these awesome healing ministries laid hands on, the Lord told you to bring that to me?" I was like, "Oh, wow, that means he's getting ready to do some awesome stuff." So I'm extremely excited about what he's doing. I got that bottle of oil sitting on my desk at the office at work right now, and I'm just thanking the Lord every day when I look at it. Lord, I thank you. I laid hands on it and prayed over it myself, and I said, "I just thank you that I'm going to use this oil at the Healing Light Conference, and you're going to do great and mighty miracles through these hands." I'm expecting, so please come expecting, knowing that the presence of God is going to be felt, the move of God is going to take place, and lives are going to be changed. Amen.
Amen. We're going to do something unique too. Our ministry always has been promoting for everybody to be walking in the Spirit of God, everybody to be walking in the power of God. It's just not us as the spiritual ministers. It's for everybody. We're promoting everybody to be healing the sick and raising the dead, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. What we're going to do during the event, we're going to have to pray for each other too.
Amen.
And it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna see the audience, the ones that are sick, stand up, and we're gonna let them find somebody instead of their significant other to do it, but somebody is around them to pray for them. We're gonna see some amazing things happen. We saw this happen before at Dark Thomas and a lot of other ministers' events. We saw some amazing miracles happen just because the Holy Spirit is there working through us all. He's not only working through us as ministers, he's working through y'all too. And you're going to see some amazing things happen. We're going to have prayer lines too, but we're going to see the Holy Spirit work through you. You're going to see some amazing things. It's going to blow your mind to see what the Lord's going to do through everybody there. We're expecting the Lord to come in with a hammer, and he's going to really work on people and transform them, and he's going to bring deliverance and healing. And I'm telling you, it's going to be something awesome that you've never seen before. I'm going to tell you, if you don't think you're coming, you're going to miss something. I'm going to tell you, don't miss this one. He's going to touch you. He's going to renew you. We're gonna give y'all a chance to come to the altar, accept the Lord. If you've not accepted the Lord and you're just waiting for an event like this, we're going to allow you to do that. We're going to have all the time for you to be able to accept the Lord. And if you need a healing, if you got a hurt grandma, if you got somebody that's got cancer, bring them to the meeting. Bring them all to the meeting, because we're expecting the Lord to touch people. And I'm telling
Amen.
You, it's going to happen.
Amen.
And,
hey, Stan. Let me say one other thing. Another thing.
Go ahead.
One of the things that the Word of God says, Paul preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. People heard the message about the kingdom, and they started receiving healing just from hearing the message. Well, a year ago at camp meeting in Charlotte, Brother Andrew Womack said he had just finished a conference called the Healing is Here Conference. And in that conference, he just preached the message about the kingdom, the message of grace and truth. And people started getting healed of diabetes and multiple sclerosis and different things started happening in that meeting without laying on of hands, just from preaching the Word of God. And I'm expecting this to take place in this meeting as well. We're going to be preaching the message of grace and truth and love, and people are going to hear what the Lord is saying, and it's going to begin to move on you, and your faith is going to get supercharged, and you're going to be able to receive from God. That's what's getting ready to happen in this ministry. We're getting ready to explode and see the power of God manifesting like never before in the history of the church, in the history of the body of Christ. It's getting ready to start taking place. And in that very same meeting I was in, there was a lady who had chemotherapy, lost all her hair. While we were sitting there in the service, her hair started growing back. She went up and said, "Look, my hair is growing back." She grew about an eighth of an inch of hair on her head in the one service the night that she went up and testified. That's the kind of stuff that we're expecting God to do in this service. Like Stanley said, bring people to the meeting. Bring your sick friends, your sick loved ones, your sick family members. Bring them so that they can hear the Word of God and get transformed and be delivered from that darkness. Amen?
Amen. It's going to be amazing. And I'd like to say, everybody, you know, I hope everybody has a great night. And, you know, come to the Healing Light Conference there. And just go on the Healing Light Show on Facebook and check it out. And we should have the Healing Light Conference right there. You can see all the details. And like I said, it's going to be at 5 p.m. Saturday night. And, you know, just come expecting for the Lord to touch you. And he will. He always has. And he will touch you and deliver you. And whatever you're expecting is going to come into you. And we'll see you then. We're not going to have a Saturday show. We are going to be busy trying to get ready for the conference, so we probably won't have a Saturday show. I probably will play a playback of one of the older shows. But God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see y'all next Wednesday.
Good night.
We have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. With none can